Tuesday, October 11th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I'd like to follow up on an article that John Stone Street ran recently in Breakpoint, something that we have talked about in the past, and that is, why is there a censoring of manhood in our culture? Let me take you to a quote from a marketing professor at NYU. Recently, he was on the Bill Maher Show and said, "The most unstable nations in the world have one thing in common. They have too many lonely, broke men." And that's exactly the type of person modern culture is producing.
We have a culture that demeans manhood, demeans fatherhood, demeans masculinity, that somehow manhood is an enemy of women's equality. Well, I'll tell you, the reality is an understanding of creation masculinity and biblical manhood is actually one of the most profound blessings for equality. God made man male and female. It takes both male and female to functionally image God in this world. Now, both men and women are made in the image of God, but together they functionally represent the image of God. When God said to Adam, "It's not good for a man to be alone," he wasn't saying that he needed a relational partner primarily. He was saying, "You can't do what I made you to do alone. There is a partner in this. There is a completer in this." And just as he made man to fill the earth and subdue the earth, so he made him from the dust of the earth, he made woman from the man's side so that they could come together. She's not from his head, she's not over him, not from his feet, she's not under him, but from his side to come alongside. They complete each other. And what is a man supposed to be, and what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to protect. He works, he competes, he provides. That's what men do. What do women do? They complete, they bring order, they affirm ardor. And our equality is not in our sameness. Our equality is in the ontology that we are all made in the image of God. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve, what did he say? "You can be like God." All they had to answer was, "We already are. We're made in the image of God. That's how he made us." So this sin nature motivated rebellion against God is a rebellion that says we will not have a God who is over his creation and distinct from his creation. And the way we're not going to do it is we're going to attack every distinction that he has in his creation. There's not going to be good and evil. We'll call evil good and good evil. We won't affirm light and darkness. We will not affirm male and female. That's the way fallen humanity rebels against God, even though it leads to insanity and absurdity. For instance, what culture ever came up with identifying people who give birth to children as birthing persons? The insanity and absurdity would be laughable if it didn't lead to the abyss of immorality and lethality in our culture. So it can't be a laughing matter. So what the church can do now is say to the culture, "You in rebellion against God are attacking manhood because of the role of manhood in imaging God in this and reflecting the goodness and the glory of God in the culture. That's why it is being attacked." Now, as it is being attacked, the church needs to step up and say, "Nope, there's this thing called masculinity that God has created. There's this thing called Christian manhood where God can rescue men from the curse of sin and return them back to their purpose for which he created them, so that they protect, they provide, and yes, they compete in life. Give me two talents, I want to compete and multiply them. Give me a jungle, I want to order it and make it a garden. Work is good, and I like to work in complementarianism in my marriage and in competition out in society, a benevolent competition that makes others better because of the competition." You cannot have a society without masculinity and manhood. And so what we are doing is we are now committing cultural suicide in our assault upon manhood, and it's showing up. right now in public schools, it's either 70% or 80% of the D's and F's that are made in public school are made by boys and young men.
From elementary school all the way through graduate school, girls are outperforming boys at every level. Harry, let me read you a quote from none other than Andrew Yang and get your reaction to it. He says to this issue, "Here's the simple truth I've heard from many men. We need to be needed. We imagine ourselves as builders, soldiers, workers, brothers, part of something bigger than ourselves. We deal with idleness terribly."
Yeah, because we weren't made to be idle. We deal with idleness and isolation. Men are isolated in the basement, most with their video games, or they're isolated in the attic as they are avoiding contact with others because they're fearful. I deal with this all the time. Here are these godly women that I pastor, young women in high school and college and postgraduate world, and they just say with their heart heavy, "Where are the men?" I mean, you can't even find them. You can't even see them, much less develop relationships with them. Why? Because they're isolated. They're withdrawn. They are actually fearful of being identified in society. Out there are young men that we must reach. They are the offscouring of society. Their manhood is belittled or it is being perverted. Their masculinity is being demeaned. We need to not only reach them for Christ, we need to teach them that Christ can make them into a man of God. The Bible says to men, "Be watchful, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love." Christian manhood, men who are strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What David said to his son, be strong and courageous. Act like a man, and then not only strong and courageous to fulfill your responsibilities, but sensitive and compassionate to engage in relationships. Out of the Reformation, when we began to teach this, that's where the term came, gentle men. Men who become like their Savior, who on the one hand is the Lion of Judah, and on the other hand is the Lamb standing as if slain, lion-hearted and lamb-like in life. We need that strength and courage to engage in responsibility, sensitivity, and compassion in relationships. We need men who reflect Christ in their marriage as the way that they love their wife. That shows people how much Christ loves his bride and gave himself for her at the cross. We need men whose wives can be confident. "My husband is on his way to work. He'll be back tonight. I know he will. Unless God takes him home, he'll be right here to fulfill his responsibilities and for order and ardor. He loves us and he will lead us." And their children know their dad is going to be with them. We won't have men susceptible to the deceitfulness. I hear it all the time. "Well, I'm going to divorce my wife and I'll be leaving the home. And by the way, I'll be actually a better father for this." No, you won't. You're not going to be a father. You're never better at something because you embrace sin. Now, grace can turn all that around, but you're never taking steps forward when you abandon what God's called you to be. So please listen to God's word. God made men for a purpose, on purpose, and can give you purpose. You have a purpose. God made you on purpose, and you are designed with purpose. And it is Christ that can give you that and lead you so that you can be a man of God in life, in all your relationships, and in all of your responsibilities. We praise God for women, and we praise God for men. Women who are daughters of God, and men who act like men for God, all by the power and grace of God. So say no to the world's attempt to eviscerate manhood, and let's raise up young men for Christ.
Let me remind you of the new feature we have brought to Today in Perspective every Friday. It's called Ask the Pastor. And you, our listeners, we want you to be involved by sending us your questions. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Questions related to the issues of life, specifically questions related to what do the scriptures mean as they speak to these issues of life. Again, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.